Anywhere. And you just heard some songs from Cold Specs off of her album Fool's Paradise, and that was released in 2017. First up, we heard the track Wild Card, and followed by that, it was the track called Two Worlds. Then after that, it was the track called New Moon. I always love to play a song that has moon as a reference because I am very connected to the moon. And lastly, we heard the song Exile. You've been tuned into CJSF 90.1 FM in Burnaby, broadcasting from the unceded Coast Salish territories.
This is Bird Note. A forest in New Zealand rings with the sound of bellbirds, whose indigenous name is Korimako. Korimako are 8-inch mossy green birds with dark wings and tail, a purple sheen on the face, and red eyes. They use their down-curved beaks and brush-tipped tongues to feed on nectar from flowers, which they pollinate while they feed. Many birds sing together, especially in the morning. Pairs sing duets, and a pair may countersing with its neighbors, perhaps letting them know that this patch of land is taken. It all builds to a brilliant, ringing dawn chorus. Korimako populations were drastically reduced in the 19th and early 20th century by disease and rats. Thanks to predator control, their numbers are increasing in some places. So their brilliant songs may ring through forests for years to come. For Bird Note, I'm Mary McCann. Bird Note gives you the sounds of birds every day, and you get the sights as well when you follow us on Instagram at Bird Note Radio.
My name is Jamie Hill. I'm the Design and Communications Manager at Embark Sustainability. I think my favorite thing about Embark is that you do not have to be the climate know-it-all. You don't have to know everything about the issues that are going on. You really just need the passion to get started. So depending on what you're interested in, you might have a unique skill or interest that you don't think is applicable to climate at all, and it turns out you are the people that we need to be part of a community. So I'd really encourage anybody who has even an inkling of interest in climate or food justice to get on board. Embark Sustainability Society is an independent, student-centered nonprofit working across SFU campuses. Embark focuses on climate and food justice in their programs and initiatives. Some of their ongoing work includes their food rescue program, learning gardens, and sustainability career nights. Discover your role in building a sustainable future based on your unique skills and interests. Learn more at EmbarkSustainability.org and follow along on Instagram at EmbarkSustain.
This is Free Voices at CJSF 90.1 FM talking to you about
Eagle Nation Universal Production Society. We are 10 board of directors and we are rejoicing for world history. Our show is based on true stories, musical and storytelling and role-playing, silent crimes broken, very interesting series of show.
And a lot of in-depth oral tradition. We play every Thursday from 3 to 4. Come and join us.
Hello, hello, hello. I am back. I want to chat a little bit about grief. or actually share some audio about grief, because the community of Tumbler Ridge, as well as many Canadians, will be experiencing grief over the coming months and years. So I'm going to share a couple clips, from videos that I found. The first one is going to explain how grief affects the brain. It's quite technical, but it is interesting. And then the second one is a clip by Dr. Kate Truitt, and she shares, she kind of offers some tips on how to support anyone that's in your life who may be experiencing grief, because grief is an ongoing process, often lasting a lifetime.
When we're grieving a profound loss, we often say we're heartbroken, but it might be more accurate to call it brain broken, given the role the brain plays in grief. As your brain adjusts to the loss of someone you love, you might feel numb, depressed, or foggy. But moving through the stages of grief is natural and healthy. It helps you process your loss and begin to move forward over time. This is Your Brain On, where we explore how the world affects our brains and ourselves. The experience of grief is twofold: the immediate acute pain of the loss and the months afterward as you mourn. The loss of someone meaningful functions as a stressor, triggering the pituitary gland at the base of the brain to produce adrenocorticotropin, or ACTH. ACTH sends a signal to the adrenal gland to release cortisone, a stress hormone. Unlike, say, a temporary threat, grief is an intense, persistent stressor, so your body remains flooded with cortisone. That can cause your immune system to falter, making you feel run down. This is likely why some bereaved spouses fall ill soon after their partner dies. Even if the death of your loved one was expected, the actual event can still feel like a shock to the system. In the short term, a traumatized brain is bottom heavy, meaning primitive areas, including the fear center, are overactive, adding to feelings of stress and despair. Meanwhile, higher cortical areas of the brain are underactive, like the anterior cingulate cortex, which helps regulate emotion. You may find it difficult to let go of minor annoyances or experience symptoms like increased heart rate for several minutes after you're startled. However, over time, the initial shock of the loss typically gives way to a deep sadness or depression as you continue to mourn. Depression can cause widespread changes across several parts of the brain, including the amygdala, which regulates sleep behavior and mood, and the hippocampus, which processes memory and regulates stress hormones. These changes disrupt core functions of our bodies and minds. As you grieve, you may find yourself sleeping too little or too much, forgetting things, or trapped in a brain fog. These feelings are difficult, but the acute pain doesn't last forever. Eventually, the sadness begins to lift at least a little bit, and then you may move on to feelings of anger or guilt before slowly moving toward acceptance of the loss. Experts agree the bereaved follow their own individual timelines, but in general, this three-stage process usually takes about a year. There are steps you can take to feel better as you go through the grieving process. Talk therapy can be a major help. This might be group bereavement meetings or cognitive behavioral therapy, which can redirect negative thoughts. Aerobic exercise can improve mood, memory, and thought processing. Talking with friends about the person you lost can be a great comfort too. Studies show long-term grief actually activates neurons in the reward centers of the brain. And recalling the time spent with those who have died reminds us that the memories still live on.
Loving somebody who's navigating a grieving and loss journey can be really hard. Seeing them in pain and not knowing what to do is a normal part of the experience. And it's also very normal for humans to want to withdraw or retract from things they don't understand, or even worse, that make us feel helpless or powerless. And in the face of deep loss, helplessness and powerlessness is normal. We can't change. We can't make it better. And so this is a video with some quick tips on how to support your loved one through the journey. As somebody who's been through the journey herself and lost a lot of people, simply because they went poof out of my life after I lost my fiance, I know what it's like. Additionally, I've experienced and walked alongside a lot of people who've been through extreme pain. And it's a deep honor and a blessing to sit with somebody through their grieving process. Having tips helps. first and foremost, remember that everybody's grieving journey is different. There is so much pressure put on people to get over it, or, hey, aren't you doing better now? It's been XYZ amount of time. I'll never forget somebody said to me 3 months after my fiance unexpectedly died, hey, aren't you dating again? Oh, it felt like a knife in my heart. And they were trying to love me. They didn't know. And that was actually preferable than the many people who simply disappeared from my life. So give yourself grace and kindness if you stumble from time to time as you're walking alongside somebody on their grieving journey. At the very beginning, and maybe for many months, remember that practical support is often the best support. Bringing food over, helping to clean the house, doing a load of laundry. There were days where I could barely even keep breathing. Getting out of bed felt impossible. Reaching out and texting. Just because they don't respond doesn't mean that your reaching into their world isn't powerfully impactful in wonderful ways. They may not have the energy to respond, and just know that it is impactful and meaningful when you call, when you send a text message, when you write a letter, send an email. Know that that is being noticed and is helping to brighten the person's day. Give yourself the space to show up without expectation for you or them. Sometimes just being in the same room with somebody is the best thing that you can do. I had a wonderful, amazing group of friends who would simply come over at night and hang out with me. Sometimes I would be in the room with them, sometimes not. And the fact that I could hear their laughter, the fact that they were in my space, was transformative for me. And honestly, in some days, it did save my life. I truly believe that. Simply showing up as you, even in your own grief and loss, if you're also on the journey, is critical for somebody who's in the darkness and the throes of pain. Common humanity is a big part here. We all will experience grief and loss. It is a common part of life. It is hurtful and it is awful. And when we can link arms without judgment and lean in with empathy and self-compassion, it can make all the difference in the world. So keep showing up for the people that you love if they're on this journey. Hold space for them and for yourself. Know that it's going to feel awkward and hard, and don't shy away from having the complicated questions or conversations. Ask them how they're doing. Check in. Have them, if they want to, share stories with you about the loved one who's moved on. There's an entire field of therapy called reminiscence therapy. That's literally telling stories about times past, connecting to what has been and no longer is right now. It's actually very healing for the mind and body. So use that data as a literal type of therapy as permission to say, hey, what were some of your favorite moments? What do you remember? And again, consistently circle back to presence is the number one healing balm you can give somebody on their healing journey.
And hopefully those tips are helpful. I want to let you know that you've been listening to Intravenous on CJSF 90.1 FM at SFU in Burnaby. I'll be signing off with a couple tracks from another artist. Her name is Jeanette King. She is a Caribbean-Canadian alternative R&B artist whose work often explores the intersections of identity, love, and discovery, and I believe that she's based out of Montreal. So the first song that you are going to hear is a song called Airplane. This is produced by Jordan Esau. And the second song that you are going to hear is called You Don't Love Me, produced by Johnny Tobin, and that is off both of the tracks that you're going to hear is off of the album What We Lost. Thank you again for spending this time with me today. Coming up next is Democracy Now. I'm Nicole Hines. Please hold your loved ones a little tighter. Take care of yourselves and take care of each other.
So go.